Good evening. It's good to see everyone here tonight for our evening worship service. I appreciate you all coming out this evening. Tonight, I want to talk to you about a topic that is important to all of us. It's a topic that is never to be taken lightly, and it's also a topic that seems to increase more and more as each day goes by. And the topic I'm going to talk about tonight is responsibility. And before we get into our lesson, I want to thank Michael for doing an excellent job this morning about decisions. And when we talk about decisions, our decisions reflect responsibility. And responsibility reflects your decisions as well. I remember growing up, one responsibility stood out more than anything. And I remember vividly because my mom told me face to face exactly what I was to do. One responsibility when I was a young child. You see, it was me and my sister and two little twin brothers, and they were still babies growing up. And boy, those little boys would crawl everywhere and do whatever they wanted, it seemed like. But I had one responsibility, and always at supper time at 5 o'clock, my mother would sit me down with one of my brothers, and she would say to me and my sister, "Whatever you do, watch him. Don't let him go anywhere." I said, "I don't care what it takes, but you are responsible for them for the next 45 minutes until I can fix you supper." You see, my dad worked as a coal miner, and he worked the night shift. And so they were our responsibility for 45 minutes out of my lifetime. As I became older, though, I had more responsibilities. With more age comes more responsibilities. I remember I was given the responsibility of chores. And boy, don't we love those chores. I had to sweep and mop the floor. I had to clean the kitchen out. I had to iron my clothes and empty the dishwasher and take out the trash. And I hated taking out the trash. But it was my responsibility, and I did it because my mother and dad expected me to do it. Today I'm a man, and responsibilities are about to reach a new height. In about 2 months, I'll be married, and I won't be just responsible for myself. I'll be responsible for another person. You see, I'll have to provide for my household. I will not only have to love my wife, but I will protect her and defend for her in whatever we do. At the same time, with this responsibility comes more bills to pay, more clothes to wash, more vacuuming and more projects, and a lot less time to myself. And we haven't even thought about kids yet. So that's not even the subject yet. What I'm getting to is this: responsibility is a huge task, and it's never to be taken lightly. I want to give you an illustration. A man was in the hospital, and while he was there, he knocked over his cup of water, and it spilled all over the floor right beside his bed. The patient was afraid that he might slip on the floor if he got out of bed, so he pays a nurse's aide to mop it up. The patient didn't know it, but the hospital policy said that small spills were the responsibility of the nurse's aides, while the large spills were to be mopped up by the hospital's housekeeping group. The nurse's aide decided the spill was just too large, and she called the housekeeping department. The housekeeper got up there and declared, "That spill is a small one." And then an argument broke out. "It's not my responsibility," said the nurse, "because it's a large puddle." Well, the housekeeper fired right back and said, "It's a small puddle, and I ain't cleaning it up." Well, the patient got tired of listening to this for a little while, and then he took his whole pitcher of water and poured it all over the floor. And he said to them, "Is that a big enough puddle for you now to clean up?" And that was the end of that argument. Responsibility, something that all of us struggle with from time to time. And tonight I want to focus on three aspects of responsibility that God will require of us on the day of judgment. The first one we talk about tonight is responsibility to one another. How much do you love your neighbor? How much do you know about him? And not just your Christian neighbor, but what about your worldly neighbor, people around your home, people around your community? If you have your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 35. Verse 27, Luke chapter 6 says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who even abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish the others would do to you, you do to them as well. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even the sinner loves those who love him. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even the sinners do the same. And if you lend to those whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and even to the evil. God said that you are to treat your neighbor with respect and with honor and with humility. Did you catch all those points? Give and don't expect a return. Do good to those who don't even know you. Seek those who are lost and pray for those who are even your enemies. We might say, Lord, you ask too much. There's no way I can do this. It's too much responsibility, and I can't fulfill all these necessary requirements that you tell us. How am I going to do this? Well, if you remember, the man that spoke these words did the exact same thing he spoke of. Jesus did it all, and did it even more than we ever can imagine. He had the ultimate responsibility concerning his neighbors. He was to live a sinless life in the world that was so full of sin. Teach those who did not know, love those who did not love, and die for those who did not understand what they were doing at the time. Mark 12, verses 30 through 31 was read earlier. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And there is no other commandment greater than these. The Lord God put an emphasis on this commandment because he knew it would be one thing we'd struggle with, and one thing that requires a lot of responsibility. We could do it. It's a huge responsibility, it is. But all of us can do it. It's just a matter of swallowing our pride and humbling ourselves, just as Christ did. The second responsibility we're going to cover tonight is one of family. And this, brethren, is one of the most difficult responsibilities in our world today. It seems that our family is in a constant state of struggle in today's world. When I was a young boy, one of the most popular TV shows that came out was called The Simpsons. And I could not watch The Simpsons. I would try to sneak and watch it, but my mother caught me, and I got in trouble. But it depicted a deadbeat dad anchored to the couch who drank beer, a wife that seemed to do all the work around the house, and a young son who needed his backside tore up. Millions of Americans became hooked on the show, and sadly, it started to be the replica of the modern American family. Some of us ask, what has happened to our families? That's what Dr. Davis asked us a couple weeks ago he was here. And I'm not going to go over everything he said, but the man did a great job, an outstanding job, talking about our families and our responsibilities to them. And we must also keep in mind that this is just not a day-to-day thing. It's every day. It's not just one day or two. It's every day your responsibility is required of your family. And I'm going to start off with the number one, the one that God said, first of all, is dad. I'm sick and tired of seeing the American dad portrayed as a clueless, non-involved couch potato. That is not our fathers. That is not what God intended for our dads, Christian dads, to be. One preacher said there is no role in modern society that suffers greater neglect than that of our fathers. God has given men the incredible privilege of imitating him as a father. And never take that for granted, dads. He has placed upon your shoulders an incredible responsibility. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 29 through 31. Deuteronomy chapter 1, 29 through 31. This is a very interesting verse that God writes in Deuteronomy. Then I said to you, do not be terrified, nor be afraid of them. The Lord your God who has gone before you will fight for you as he did for you over in Egypt, before your very eyes and even in the desert. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son all the way you went until you reached that place. Did you notice the emphasis he put on the father? Dads, he says, whatever it takes, you will carry your family, and they will rely upon you to wherever your destination will be. And I pray that is heaven for all of our families. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied his faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Fathers, you are to provide not only a strong back and not only money in the bank, but more importantly, you provide a home that is established and is centered upon godly standards. Fathers, just don't take the back seat of the family. That's not good enough. Instead, take action and responsibility for getting your children and your wife to heaven. That's what's important. Mother comes next. Many people say the mother is just a homemaker. She is to stay at home and attend to the children. That's not the job of the mother. That's not all the job she has to do. She does that and so much more. Mother has a great responsibility concerning her family. She's the nurturer and the caretaker, and never to be taken lightly. Mother is just not a homemaker, but a lifelong teacher. It was the mother who spent endless hours at the ball field watching her son play those doubleheaders every night, it seems like. It was mother who prepared a supper every night, and we all sat down and ate a meal together as a family. It was mother who came to the rescue to one of her children who needed a shoulder to cry upon. It was also a mother who sat beside our bed every night and made us quote Psalms 100 and Psalms 23 before we went to sleep. You better believe that mother is just more than a homemaker. Proverbs 31 and verse 10 gives you one of the most beautiful descriptions of what a mother is to be like. It says in Proverbs chapter 31, a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good and not harm all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works eager with her hands. She is like the merchant ship, bringing forth food from afar. She gets up while it's still night and provides food for her family and portions of her female servants. She can laugh all the days of life to come. Verse 26, she speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband does as well, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass all of them. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. That's the emphasis that God put on the mother. Mama, you have a great responsibility to your household and to your children and your husband as well. How wonderful would it be, moms, to stand upon the day of judgment and hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, for you have brought your whole household into the kingdom of God." And number three comes the children. And some of people say in this world today, children? Responsibility? You got to be kidding me. Children don't have any responsibility. That's what the world thinks. But to a Christian, that's totally different in a Christian home. It seems today that children have become exempt when it comes to responsibility. Our world makes teens believe that there is no responsibility and that back-talking and disobeying parents is just a trend that they all go through. Teens, it's time for you to step up. And I'm looking directly at you and going to tell you exactly what we're talking about. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3. Please be turning there. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. And most of y'all have heard this beaten into your heads since you were younger. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. And you've heard that time and time again, but that verse never really gets explained until you look at verse 3. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Now look at 3. So it may go well with you, and you may enjoy life long upon the earth. What was he talking about in verse 3? What he's saying is this. Your parents are trying to raise you in godly standards. Your parents care for you, and they love you very much. Some of you might say, my parents just aren't cool. Your parents aren't supposed to be cool. They're supposed to be parents, and they love you, and they care for you, and they protect you as well. God said in verse 3 that if you obey your parents, you'll have a lifelong a life that is long and joyful. You will enjoy your life, is what the Bible says, and don't ever miss that point because it's so important. Your parents know exactly how to raise you, and they may make mistakes, but that's okay. We all make mistakes, but they know exactly how to get you to heaven, and pay attention to them. Proverbs 1:8-9 says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teachings. They are to be a garland of grace upon your head and a chain to adorn your neck." And moving on, you also have responsibility to your friends. Matthew 5:14-16, the Bible says here, "You are the light of the world. A city set upon a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it on their basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." The example you set today will be what you are remembered for later on. Are you letting your light shine? Because if you're God's children, we need to be acting like one. And that brings us to the next point. If you're God's children, you're acting like one, teenagers, he expects you to act like one with your dates as well. Dating is such a good time in a young person's life. I remember dating, I enjoyed it. In high school, I rather dated baseball than women, though, because I like playing baseball. But I moved to the college age and decided I better get situated. I better have someone to help me out, because it's going to be tough if I don't. But dating is a great time in your life. You know, you get all flustered up and you get these text messages say, "I love you, I really care about you. Well, you don't want to go on a date with me?" Yeah, sure, let's go to the movies. At the same time, before you leave that house, God gives you strict commandments and how are you to treat your date and how you are to go on that date. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be deceived, for bad company ruins good morals." Look at that again. Bad company will ruin your good morals. It seems like only one mistake. It only takes one mistake to ruin a good life. One mistake can ruin your reputation, young people. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, "Free from sexual immorality, every other sin a person commits is outside the body. But sexual immorality is a sin that's committed against one's own body." Young men, when you go and pick up that lovely lady, you better have those good intentions for that girl, because her daddy's going to ask you that question. And also, young ladies, if that boy does not respect you, does not open that car door for you, and can't keep his hands to himself, then you have no business giving him the chance to date you. He doesn't deserve it, because you're special. And always remember, girls, a moving car is better than a parked car. Always keep that in mind. Proverbs 51:10 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me." It takes only one time to destroy your reputation, it seems like. Remain pure and be proud of your integrity and maintain it for the rest of your life. And finally, now we get to our responsibility to God, one of the most important things. What is God going to expect from me on the day of judgment? What is he expecting even now? God expects us to always do our best. "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord," is Colossians 3:17. God also expects us to love and trust him. Matthew 22:37 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment." God knew that we are to love him, and God wants us to love him every day. And he also expects us finally to stay the course, stay your journey towards heaven. Luke 9:62 says, "No one puts a hand to the plow and looks back as fit for the service of God." When you make that decision to become a Christian, you stick to the plan and you remain the course. That's the way God intended it. Don't look back, because looking back will only lead to temptation and more sin. Looking back does not get you to heaven. Looking forward gets you to heaven and looking up. You must fully be committed to the service of God and the Lord and never look back. Do we understand our responsibilities? Yes. They're very tough. They're very hard to keep sometimes and very trying in our patience. But responsibilities are not given to those who are lighthearted. They are given to those who are people that can keep going, people that will seek God, people that won't give up. And the reward is amazing in the end. There may be some tonight here who have seemed to let their responsibilities, some who think that responsibility has gone astray in their life. There may be someone here tonight that decides they want to put on that responsibility in baptism. Put on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through baptism and accept their role as a Christian and live faithfully into God's service the rest of their life. Responsibilities are tough. They will always be. But the rewards of a good and faithful servant are endless. If you need to respond to heaven's invitation, come.